Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Dog Up Radio on the Ship to Shore Network. Dog Up Radio on Ship to Shore Network.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Dog Up Radio. I'm Doug Walker, your host. Let's get things started with a tune of mine called Shotgun G. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Doug Walker, your host here at Dug Up Radio, and I have a very special guest in the Wilmington studio tonight, Mr. Madafo Lloyd Wilson. Madafo, thank you very much for coming tonight. How are you?
Thanks for inviting me, Doug. I'm very happy to be here. I'm feeling good, and anytime there's music involved, I'm ecstatic. So I'm doing good, thanks.
Well, it was really nice to see you the other night You know, I grew up in Wilmington, and you were a little bit older than me, not much, but you were kind of an inspiration to me at an early age, and you didn't even know it.
Yeah, well, I did, you know. But since I've been back to Wilmington, you know, I've been running into a lot of people who have been saying how much my appearance in their lives have meant something, you know, and that makes me very proud, and I feel very good about, you know, the things that I was doing then, and the things that I'm still doing, and having a wonderful time doing it. You know, it's good to see Wilmington sort of kind of blossoming.
Yeah, it is blossoming. We're talking about Wilmington, North Carolina, not Wilmington, Delaware.
Ooh.
No, and it is blossoming. I hear there used to be, when I was growing up, like one good jazz group, maybe, you know? It was one band.
That was the group that I was in.
That was it, yep. And now I hear bands playing, and I don't know them. I'm like, where do they come from? But there's a lot of good musicians coming out of UNCW, I guess.
Yeah.
The jazz department.
Well, I think that has a lot to do with it. But, you know, people are just growing up more interested in jazz now. You know, hip-hop is certainly here, and rock and folk, even instead of the genre, between country and folk.
Oh, I don't even know.
Yeah, well, you know, there's all kinds of music here, you know, and that's what makes it so good. The jazz musicians, I'm feeling so good about, because there's really quality players here, you know, and I'm excited to go and listen to, as well as play with some of these people.
For those of you who don't know, Madafo, he is a master percussionist. How would you describe your style of playing drums?
Well, you know, I don't describe it.
No, true, but maybe it's radio.
Yeah, but, well, you know, I learn from the street. You know, a guy who actually played, who literally played in the street, would come by and teach me. And for his payment, I would fix him dinner. He was a short guy. You know, he'd come at my apartment every day and show me something on the kungas. That's what I started playing. And basically, I'm a singer. I started basically singing, man. Background, like James Brown and the Famous Flaves. I was one of the Flaves type of guys, you know. The Pips, if you will. And moved on when I was in Washington, D.C. I fronted my own band, and I had a rock and roll R&B band. We did lots of James Brown and Wilson Pickett and songs of that era, and it was really wonderful, man. I really began to grow into the music, but there was one thing that was missing, you know, because I would get with some cats, some jazz groups, and I would sing my verse, and then I'd step out of the music and let them have their say. And I wanted to be a part of that also. So I picked up a cowbell and started joining them, even on the solos, you know, their solos. And from the cowbell, I went to maracas and things that would shake or scratch. And then I went to, when I finally got to the kunga, playing and learning the kunga, I wasn't singing anymore. I was totally into percussion, and of course that's the way it's been. It's just been that way, and from those times on, you know, I have been in indulging myself in the world of percussion music.
Madafo brought some instruments here in the studio. He's got an assortment of thumb pianos, a couple of different thumb, not an assortment, but two different thumb pianos, a small one and a large one. Would you call it a thumb piano? Or is that a layman's?
Well, some people, you know, just know by many names. You know, if you go to Africa, you know, you've got more than 800 different languages being spoken there. So this instrument is made differently in different regions and given different names. You know, like some regions of Africa know this instrument as sansa, and another region knows it as luwelophone. Another will call it mbira. Another will call it the thumb piano or the thumb harp. And
yeah, play a little bit for us. To the listeners, the quality of the connection we have. We're gonna take care of that pretty soon, I hope, and have so we can have some really good live performances here. So that was a little thumb piano or salsa. Sansa. Sansa.
S-A-N-Z-A-O-S-A. Depends on the region that you're from.
And would these instruments be West African or
all over?
You'll find these
instruments. Different shapes, different sizes. This is probably the instrument that they talk about in the Bible when they speak about David. David, being a musician, played the harp. Now, imagine playing this harp that I have in my mind. When I first read that David was a harpist, I had this 26-string thing, mm-hmm. you know, in my head, you know.
You're like the angels with the wings playing them.
Exactly, you know. But it was probably more like this, something that he could just store away in the bottom of his pouch. You know, if he had to hurry or save a sheep or some cattle, or if he had to move in a hurry.
Oh, yeah.
Then he would sit there and pluck. And it's like his poetry. I've known rivers, ancient dusky rivers. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. I've known rivers in the north and the south. I've known rivers in the east and the west. I've known and seen some rivers. From North America and South America, Asia, Africa. I've known rivers in the north and the south. I've known rivers in the east and the west. I've known and seen some rivers. I've known and seen some rivers. I've known and seen something.
Beautiful. That is Madafo Lloyd Wilson here on Dug Up Radio. We're going to be back with Lloyd in just a few minutes. Make sure you check out his website, madafo.com, M-A-D-A-F-O. M as in Mary, A as in Apple, D-A-F-O.com. Check out Madafo. Right now, we are going to play a song from the great, how about do a little Freddie Harris. This is Freddie Harris's tune called City Groove. I like this tune.
Thank you.
right, that was Freddie Harris 3. Make sure you check out Freddie Harris 3. That was one of my favorite tunes, a little kind of pop jazz thing called City Groove. And speaking of groove, we have in the studio tonight Madolfo Lloyd Wilson right here in Wilmington, North Carolina, one of the greatest percussionists I know. There you go. I started to say in Wilmington, but no, anywhere. Thank you for being with us tonight. And let's see, what's going on? You're a percussionist. You're also a storyteller, right?
That's correct. I tell all kinds of stories, mainly those stories that speak from the African and the African-American experience. I tell stories in the tradition of the griot, and the griot is the African storyteller. He's a musician, a poet, a teacher, a spokesperson, the one responsible for keeping alive the history, the traditions, and the principles and values of the people. So I feel good about telling these stories because these are stories that are part of my culture, part of who I am as a person. And so storytelling is a part of who I am, a part of the culture that I am a part of, you know. So I'm very happy to be a storyteller. Everybody's a storyteller, as a matter of fact. All of us, everybody's a storyteller. But I love telling stories. My parents were always wonderful storytellers. My mother used to tell me stories every night. She'd sing to me. She'd tell me stories, the same stories that, you know, the standard stories like the three little pigs, three bears, and the giant and the beanstalk. But she would always tell me stories about our family, and these were the stories that really attracted me to the world of storytelling. Stories about my grandfathers, my father, my cousins, the people that I just didn't know may have passed way before I even was born, especially my grandparents. And so I'm very happy, you know, to be a storyteller. And moving, walking in that light, that spirit, as a storyteller.
It's pretty amazing. And do you go? You do stories. Like what kind of performances? You go to schools, festivals, camps, and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Basically everywhere. You know, storytelling is, you know, even under shade trees. You know, just out in the open somewhere. You know, so you can tell stories anywhere. And I've been just about anywhere. I've been at festivals. I've been at concerts. I've been in church. One thing that a lot of people don't know that I do is I do weddings. Basically what I do is I get with the bride and groom maybe 6 months before they get married. Get a bit of their story, get them to tell me their story, and then I record it and tell it at their wedding, you know.
Oh, wow, that's really amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, it's a good feeling for me when it happens, and then to see the bride and groom and all the other people light up when they are listening to the story of how these two spirits came together. And you know, it's framed around that kind of ecstasy and love and life, love of life. So I'm very happy to be a part of that too.
But also, when you I've talked to some drummers who talk about the spirit of the drum. How do you? Your instruments are special to you. We were talking earlier, like they're part of you now. Do you understand what I'm asking? Like some people even believe that the wood, you know, the tree and the skin, everything has a spirit.
Well,
you ever think about that?
Oh, yeah, you know. Well, without my drum, I wouldn't be able to speak. You know, the drum, and I mean that literally as well as the other thing.
Like if an Italian lost his hands, he wouldn't be able to speak.
Sorry. Yeah, well, okay. I guess you could put it that way, too, you know, because once you become a drummer, you know, your life is drumming. You know, it's a part of everything that you do. It's like drinking water. You have to drink water. You have to drum. And I like it. You know, some of the strangest things have happened when I drum. Sometimes I would go out in the park and play, you know, and birds would, like, I'd look up and there would be birds and squirrels and all kinds of little animals around me, you know. One time I was playing, I was sitting on a set of bleachers, and I was playing, you know, just practicing some riffs and doing some things, thinking about Africa. And I felt this little tickle on the bottom of my feet, and I thought it was some grass that had reached up, you know, and was tickling my feet. And I looked down, and it was a black snake crawling under my feet.
Wow.
Yeah. Didn't bother me, just kept on going on its own, on its way, you know. It just, I don't know whether it felt vibrations from the drum or was just drawn, what drew that snake in that direction, a black, beautiful black snake, you know.
Well, you know, we've all about the cobra people in India, right? I mean, it might have something, they come out of the basket playing the flute.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the vibrations from the drum are always real, man. You know, they're very real. You know, this the drum is the first telephone, the first computer.
You want to play a little bit for us?
I'd love to.
Madafa has a set of LP bongos.
That I've had for a million years.
He's had for quite some time. Right, that was beautiful. Thank you very much. That was Madafa Lord Wilson here in the studio on Dug Up Radio. And we're going to be back with more Madafa in just a few minutes. But first, let's listen to a little bit of a friend of mine named Mr. Gary Mayon. Gary Mayon on Dug Up Radio. Thank you. where else are you going to hear didgeridoos on the radio? Only Doug Up Radio, maybe NPR once in a while. I'm Doug Walker, your host here every Monday night. And tonight I'm honored to have the fantastic Madolfo Lloyd Wilson, percussionist, storyteller, and all-around uplifting person. Madolfo, you do stories for events, also for conferences, I see on your website.
Yes, storytelling can be told anywhere, everywhere. In fact, we do, you know, conferences especially.
So how does it work in a conference? Will a company hire you to tell a story about their product, or how does, or do you tell your own stories, or just for, how does it work, or entertainment, or do you, how does it work?
Well, basically storytelling, you know, is also instructional, you know, especially for those companies that may need a person-to-person contact, you know, that one-on-one contact with their employees, you know, as they go out to meet public, you know, they need to be able to communicate with them. And sometimes a story breaks the ice between people who don't know one another, and, you know, and trying to, and as a business person, you know, you want to be able to get close to your client, understand them, get them to relax and be a part of you. So you tell them stories, and stories can be about anything. They can be about your family, basically what happened to you this morning, you know, and how you got out of bed. You know, the strangest thing happened. You stepped on a rug and slid all the way into the kitchen where your wife was preparing this wonderful breakfast of salmon cakes and grits and so it goes on and on. Storytelling is life. Life is storytelling, so it can happen anywhere.
Yeah, that would be very interesting at a conference, I could see, you know, because people are sometimes not excited about being there. I could see where it would be very interesting to have a nice story. And for those of you who don't know Madolfo, when he's telling a story but playing instruments at the same time, it's very, very, entertaining isn't even the word, because that's too light, you know. It's not, I mean, he is an entertainer, but it's more like you feel like you're getting a sermon, or you're getting something, right? You're not just getting entertained. You're giving us some history and some music and
speaking to the spirit. It is what we refer to it many times. The spirit.
Speaking to the spirit.
Speaking to the spirit. Yes.
Wow. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to remember. I wish everyone could speak to the spirit, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, the spirit is everything, you know, and hopefully one day, you know, we are speaking to the spirit, you know.
We were just talking off the air a while ago. I was talking about sometimes there are people who just talk a whole lot but never say anything at all, right? We've met a few of those. I think some people, you know, they just like to hear themselves. And you might say that about me, because what am I doing? I'm talking on the radio, but who knows? Who knows? What else is? What other instrument do you have here? It's a flute?
Yeah, it's a reed flute. One of the finest pieces of workmanship, you know. I mean, there's this guy who made this flute, this reed flute, cut the reeds around the Ono River over by Durham. There's a river that flows over there. They're called the Eno or the Ono. I can't remember what it was. But he cut the reeds from there, and he made this flute. Beautiful.
Play a little bit for us. That was beautiful.
Hey, thanks.
Beautiful. Was that something you made up or a tune that has a name?
Actually, I don't know the name of it, but a very good friend of mine from Uganda is a wonderful musician. His name is Sammy Tay. If you haven't heard him pick up some of his recorded work, he's very nice, very tasteful. He plays guitar, he blows flute, and he sings. You know, yeah, man, he's a wonderful voice. And what I just played for you was a chant that he had on one of his albums, and I can't remember the name of it. Forgive me, please. But it was actually a chant that he does on one of his albums.
Wow, it's beautiful. I think this may be the first time I've ever seen an actual reed flute. And it's actually a piece of bamboo, right? One solid.
Well, this is reed, not bamboo.
Okay.
Yes, there's a difference. This is like the reed that we used to find down by the riverfront where we would make
fishing poles.
Yeah, fishing poles and arrows out of bows and arrows and stuff, you know.
Wow.
And the bamboo is a little different. It's along the same lines, but this is a reed. Yes, it's one of those reeds that you see coming out of the riverside there.
Wow.
Yes.
When I was a kid, we used to make flutes out of bamboo in the yard. We would find around here, but they never sounded good. So maybe I was using the wrong material, right?
I don't know. Yeah.
I should have found a reed and not a bamboo.
Yeah. And it's one joint, as you can see. Just one little joint there of reed. And the guy was obviously a wonderful flute maker, you know. And actually, this is my second choice of a reed flute. I have another flute that I'm looking to get one.
My sister had I was real little, and during the bicentennial, this 1976, everybody went crazy trying to recreate the Revolutionary Minutemen and all that stuff. But my sister used to play fife, which is a similar, I guess. Anyway, we're talking about flutes.
Yeah.
This is Doug Walker, Doug Up Radio. Let's listen to a little Leon Foster Thomas. It's called No Looking Back. Thanks, Leon Foster. That was Leon Foster Thomas here on Dug Up Radio. And tonight we've had the pleasure of listening to and talking to Madafo Lloyd Wilson, who is a resident here of Wilmington, North Carolina. Where were you from originally?
I was born and raised right over there on the north side of town in Taylor Homes Projects.
Oh, man, do you remember a man that lived there who had no legs, and he had these car tires or something fixed on his legs?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
I think I do, yeah. He was a craftsman, wasn't he, a jeweler?
I don't know, but he wore a cap, and his legs were off below the knees, and he had some kind of car tires. Because, I would see him, because I grew up not far from there, in Wrightsboro, just past the big Christmas tree, the world's largest Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Could you see that from Taylor Homes growing up?
Yeah.
Christmas tree.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we could see the top of it, and there was never a time when we didn't go there and go to the tree, you know, to that big old tree, you know.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, there's been, in Wilmington, it's been billed as the world's largest living Christmas tree, you know, for probably, I don't know, 50 years or something. It's probably not actually the largest living Christmas tree. And I don't even think they light it up anymore. It's kind of had its day the last few years.
Right. But as a matter of fact, they're talking about cutting it down.
Oh, man. And it's in a bad area. I'm not a bad area, but kind of an industrial spot over there. They're trying to, I guess, bring the lighting of the tree probably to the end of Market Street, you know, something more like a Rockefeller Center kind of thing.
It won't have the same quality of it, you know. I mean, we used to go over to the tree, and it was like an old friend, the tree was, you know.
When I see that tree, you can see it on old postcards,
yeah.
And you it has that little lump on the side, right? It always had like a lumpy side.
Sure did. Yeah,
big Christmas tree.
Yeah, and that's just the way it was, man. It was a great time, you know. But things change, yeah. And the tree is just about gone, man. You know, it's almost gone. I went out last year, as a matter of fact, to see the lighting of the tree, and there was no lights. I remember growing up, there were lights. You could see the lights from all over town, and churches would come and sing. There was the theater would act out the night of Jesus' birth. And it was just a wonderful time, a wonderful gathering of people in Wilmington. Now the tree is dying, and hopefully it's that time, I guess.
Yeah, we have to be, we're sad, but it's life, you know?
Yeah.
I thought about something the other day, and I know this might sound negative, but I said to myself, I realized, wait a minute, we're not really living. We're actually dying, right? I mean, I guess whichever end of the spectrum, I mean, because really, as we're getting older, we're like that tree. I don't mean to be dark or anything, but I thought about that. Wow, the big Christmas tree. I went to D.C. Virgo, and I spent a lot of time in that neighborhood over there. Aye. Well, it's 9:23. On Monday night. Normally I go from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, but we pushed it a little later tonight. We had some technical difficulties, and I wanted to be comfortable, so we went 8:30 to 9:30. Next week we'll be back from 8 till 9. Let's listen to a tune, Jonathan Scales. Madafo, you have to check out this guy, Jonathan Scales. He's a great pan player, and he lives in Asheville.
Okay.
He lives in Asheville. And he's a great pan player, Jonathan Scales.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Jonathan Scales. Jonathan Scales on Dug Up Radio. Tonight we've had the privilege of talking to Madafo Lloyd Wilson. Thank you very much for coming by tonight, Lloyd.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Doug. Thanks for the invitation.
Where can people find out more about what you do, storytelling and everything?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm on the internet, you know, everywhere, you know. So if you want to contact me, just go to my website and give me a buzz, email. I'm always available. So just give me a I look to contact anybody.
Sure, and if you, I'll leave his information up on my website, dougup.com. You can find him there. But Madafo.com. Madafo, what does that mean?
My friend.
My friend, ah. My friend. That's beautiful. Madafo. Madafo, my friend. Well, thank you very much, Madafo, for being my friend. And thanks for coming over tonight. And hopefully we'll get to jam together really soon. Yeah, we'll do some playing together. Thank you all for hanging out tonight with Dug Up Radio, and I will talk to you next week. Good night, everyone.